restaurants. But when Lola had dared to question him about his increasingly frequent nights away, he'd flown into a rage, and a barrage of hate-filled spite followed accusations of ingratitude and paranoia. I lost track of time staring down at spiraling water until the shower ran cold. I emerged, shivering, skin taut from goose flesh. I towel-dried myself, turning away from the mirror on the off-chance Hump might choose that moment to make an appearance. Returning to the bedroom, I felt the all-too-familiar draw of booze, like a moth to a flame, iron filings to a magnet, the seductive aroma masking the stench of sweaty bedsheets. I sloshed a generous measure into my one good tumbler and strolled to the window. Outside, the world seemed frozen in time, bathed in a tangerine glow from the streetlights. Kerrigan's had long since called last orders. The shutters were down on the Leather and Lace Club, and the plug pulled on the dragon sign over Mr. Tang's noodle bar. Too bad. For some reason, I found its stuttering neon light oddly comforting. As I took another swig, I glimpsed movement outside. Only it wasn't some late-night reveler, vagrant, or curb-crawler. It was the shadows. They had become untethered, gaining sentience to coalesce, forming a single, angular mass of darkness. It stretched like a titan's hand across the road toward my building. I blinked and shook my head, clearing away what I'd convinced myself was the dizzying effect of alcohol. It did the trick, for the time being at least. On the third day of surveillance, I followed Alexander Wilde downtown to Mortuary Row, ground zero for the city's junkies, freaks, and weirdos. The area used to have a rat problem until dysentery wiped them out. So let's be clear, it's a nasty place. Not somewhere I'd expect to find a clean-cut Ivy Leaguer like Wilde. I followed in my van at a safe distance, careful not to spook him. He parked in an out-of-the-way spot and entered a scuzzy brownstone with his own key.
"Just like old times, eh, Maxie?"
The tiny hairs at the nape of my neck prickled. It had been a month since I'd last heard that scratchy, bone-dry voice. The smell of dirt, wet leaves, and rotten meat filled the vehicle. I jerked the rearview mirror askew, avoiding eye contact.
"Hey, aren't you pleased to see me?"
"No," I said. "Leave me alone."
"Oh, don't be like that."
I flipped open the glove box, relieved to find an unopened bottle. Twisting off the lid, I took a long and appreciative gulp.
"Ignore me all you want. I'm going nowhere."
I busied myself checking the camera, fitting a zoom lens, adjusting focus, doing all I could to tune out the sound of Hump's voice. Wilde could emerge at any moment, hand in hand with some little floozy. I had to be ready. I couldn't allow myself to be distracted, especially not by him.
"Just a thought, but you might want to take the lens cap off."
Every instinct screamed at me not to fall for his bullshit. Hump Talbot could twang my cords like no one else.
"Sorry I haven't stopped by in a while. It's been nonstop over on this side. My social diary has never been so full. I'll have to get myself a personal assistant if things carry on like this."
I plucked a